Hear these words from the Gospel according to Mark, verses 1 through 4 of chapter 16, the last chapter in Mark's Gospel, first four verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise that the stone has been rolled away, that the work of discovering the empty tomb is not left to us, but has been accomplished by you yourself. We give you thanks that we can sing of you, our Redeemer, in this day. And as we take these moments to reflect on that tremendous experience that changed all of human history forever, we pray that your Spirit would fill us yet again, and that you would help us to understand and confess and believe and sense the truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Bless this time, we pray, in your holy and precious name. Amen. It's an important question that is asked. Who will roll the stone away? We ask lots of important questions in our lives. How will I pay the bills this month? What should I do about my work situation? How do I handle the conflict that's going on at home? How can I prove that what I believe really is true? When will our country become a truly Christian nation? Should businesses serve LGBT people? Do I feed my children or fix my car? We ask lots of really important questions that are often very difficult to answer. Our lives are full of these practical, tangible kinds of questions that are sometimes more complicated than we wish, harder to answer than we wish. Sometimes these questions go unanswered altogether. And many of these questions, I believe, come from a place of anxiety, where we worry about what's going on at home or at work or in the country or whatever, what have you. We worry and we fear. And so we ask. Sometimes we want to have things controlled. Sometimes we want to have things put the right way. Sometimes we just want to make it through whatever situation it is that we're facing. But whatever the situation is, we want to make sure that things are going to be all right. Last summer, Tara and I took a choir trip. We were part of a two-week choir tour in Europe. It was an amazing time that we remember fondly, especially when it's snowy outside. Leanne, sorry. She's happy that there's snow on Easter. That's all right. She's a wonderful person otherwise. I'm sorry. I won't pick on you. Last summer, as I was saying, we were in Latvia for one of the 2 weeks of our choir trip. And during our excursions in Latvia, we weren't just left to our own devices. We had college-age students who were guiding us around and showing us the places that we needed to go and getting us from point A to point B. They had signed up to do this for free as kind of an internship thing, and they got to practice their English, and we, you know, it was all wonderful stuff. One of our guides was a young girl named Irina. I say a young girl, she was in her 20s, a college student, and had very fluent English. She was a lot of fun to be around, and she had a funny way of saying things sometimes that just set us at ease when we would get all worried about getting to the next place or reserving a room for us to rehearse in or ordering off of this menu that we couldn't read any of the words on. She would say, "Don't worry, I got this." It became a thing that she said through the whole week that we were with her. "Don't worry, I got this." And she kind of, you know, threw her head back and laughed, and she knew she was saying a funny thing in English. And it was just, I guess you had to be there, but it was really fun. "Don't worry, I got this." It was freeing for us to have someone there who could answer our questions, someone there who could take care of the details, someone who even knew what the right questions were to ask. Sometimes we didn't even know what we would have to do on any particular day, where we'd have to be or how to get there or anything like that. Irina and our experiences with her reminds me of the women in this story who have these questions about who will roll the stone away. I don't intend to criticize Mary and Mary and Salome in this story from Mark 16, so please don't hear that. That's not my intent at all. They're asking a question which is really important. Who will roll the stone away? They're not to be criticized, they're to be honored, because they're the first people in all of human history who have the evidence of Jesus being raised from the dead. They are the ones who discover the empty tomb. No man was given that privilege. It was left to three women who were now honored forever as the ones who have discovered that Jesus is alive. But in order to do that, they had to ask this very natural question: who's going to roll this stone away? We skip over that element of the story pretty quickly as we tell the story of Jesus rising from the dead, because it seems to not be that important, but maybe it is. Mark thinks it is, the author of this story, because he takes time to comment that it was a really big stone. He doesn't just say it was a large stone. He says it was an enormously large stone. The language here includes one of my favorite, all-time favorite Greek words, which is sphodra. S-P-H-O-D-R-A. Do you remember that word, Leah? Sphodra. She took Greek once upon a time, but she's left since then, and it's all right. Sphodra is a tremendous Greek word. It just means enormously huge. Sphodra. I didn't mean to pick on you either. I'm sorry. I know. That's good. Sphodra means enormous. If you want to say something's big, you don't just say it's big. You say it's sphodra big. And that makes it just that much bigger in our minds. The stone that was rolled in front of Jesus' tomb was an enormous stone that was rolled down an incline and into a groove right in front of the opening of the tomb. It would have taken lots of people to move it away. Who's going to roll the stone away for us? These women ask. Their real question is not about the stone. The real question is, how are we going to get to Jesus? How are we going to get access to Jesus? There's something in the way. And in order for us to accomplish what we came to accomplish, namely anoint his body for burial, that stone is going to have to be removed. It's a question, I think, of high anxiety. Not that they're all worked up inside about it, but really, if no one's there to roll the stone away with them, then their journey has been for naught. They're going to have to go back home a few miles to where they lived, and that would be that. In order for their work to be accomplished, something is going to have to happen. The answer to their question is not human, but divine. The answer to their question is not planned or organized. It is graciously given. When they arrive at the tomb, the stone has already been rolled away. By whom? Mark doesn't know or really care. It doesn't matter to Mark who rolled the stone away. He didn't comment on it. It just had been moved. God provided for them an answer to the question that was most poignant in their minds. How are we going to move this stone? It's already been taken care of. Don't worry. I got this, God says. God gave them grace even before they knew they needed it. What happens next leaves the women with even more questions, though. They show up, expecting to anoint Jesus' body. The stone has been rolled away, terrific, but there's no body. Where is Jesus? If he's alive at this point in time, which he is, why didn't he just show up? Why didn't he say, here I am, now you don't have to worry about this anymore. You don't have to worry about anointing my body. You can return the spices and give the money to the poor. You can do all sorts of things now. He didn't bother to show up for them. Why didn't he do that? What were they supposed to do next? How could they explain this to the other disciples who weren't with them? Well, we got to the tomb and, well, it was empty. It was what? It was empty? Would the other disciples believe them? How would all of this play out? These are questions that we ask of the text, but Mark does not answer them. The Gospel of Mark ends just a few verses later, after I stopped reading in verse 4. It goes to verse 8 and stops. Now in your Bibles, if you have them here or at home or wherever you find it, if you look at Mark 16, you will see verses 9 through 20. The chapter goes on after verse 8. It continues from verse 9 through verse 20. But I guarantee in your Bible there will be a mark there, something in brackets, some kind of note that says, these verses, 9 through 20, do not appear in the earliest manuscripts of Mark's Gospel. It's true, they don't. They were not original to what Mark wrote at the beginning. They were added later. Hundreds of years later, probably, a couple hundred at least. The earliest copies we've got of Mark's Gospel stop after verse 8. And where are the women at verse 8? They're leaving the tomb, trembling and bewildered and afraid. Mark does not answer the questions that we have. Where is Jesus? He doesn't show up in Mark's Gospel after the resurrection. Unless you read on into that later stuff from verses 9 through 20. It stops at verse 8 and Jesus is still mysteriously absent. How do they explain it? Nobody knows. What happens next? Nobody knows. The gospel ends with more questions than this story started with. The pursuit of Jesus did not result in answers. It did not even result in a reduction of anxiety. Instead, it ends in a climax of more questions and more anxiety. Believing in Jesus may result with us having more questions than we have answers. And that's okay, because God reminds us, it's all right, I've got this. Even if you don't, pursuing Jesus is more important than finding the right answers. The story of the women approaching the empty tomb emphasizes the faith of the women over against the proof that Jesus is alive. Mark doesn't have time for evidence, for proof, like our scientific minds want to see. Who's going to roll the stone away? God says, don't worry. I've got this. I'm already ahead of your situation. So, how will I pay the bills this month? What should I do about my work situation? How do I handle the conflict that's going on at home? How do I prove that what I believe is really true? When will our country become a truly Christian nation? Should businesses serve gay and lesbian people? Do I feed my children or fix my car? How can we answer those and other high intensity, high anxiety questions? Christian faith in the 21st century is taking a very peculiar shape. This is an amazing time for us to be alive because things are changing in how Christian people think and how we process questions like these and what results, what conclusions we come to. Really, I believe much of Christian thinking in the 21st century right now is a reaction of 20th century modernism against 21st century postmodernism and skepticism and things like that. There's a lot of reaction going on there. There are many problems, many objections, many arguments against Christianity, and the question that we have a lot of the time is, how do we handle these? How do we handle these attacks against what we believe? Can we come up with the best arguments to defeat them? So we come up with lots of explanations. We produce lots of movies that in recent years are there to encourage us to believe that God's not dead, right? That encourage us to believe something, that encourage us to believe that heaven is for real. You know, there are lots of things like this that are being produced even now that convince people to believe certain things, or really they're there to convince us to believe certain things. How do we know that we are right? We want to get to Jesus. See, there's this stone in the way. There's something in the way of us experiencing Jesus, and it's all of these arguments against what we believe, and we've got to roll them out of the way in order to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is and finally be able to prove to the world that what we believe is right and everybody should believe us. If we could just get the right arguments together, if we could just get the right beliefs together or package the right film together, then everybody would see it and everything would be perfect. Who's going to roll the stone away? But God responds to us, "Don't worry. I got this. It's already been taken care of." These high anxiety questions that we ask ourselves are good questions to ask, but God's already got it figured out. Pursuing Jesus is more important than having the right answers. Believing in Jesus will leave us with unanswered questions. It's just the way it is. It's not comfortable to live without answers to questions like these. I'm not saying that all questions go unanswered. Sometimes we can have answers to some of them, yes. But there's a certain amount of discomfort and uncertainty about some of the things that are going on. And that's all right. It's not comfortable to live without the answers. But remember, the women in Mark's gospel end the whole story. The whole gospel of Mark ends with these women leaving the tomb, trembling and bewildered and afraid. That might describe us in our moments of highest anxiety. I think it probably does describe those Christians in the world today who are being persecuted for their faith, trembling and bewildered and afraid. It's better to pursue Jesus than to have proof. Remember that God is already ahead of your situation. The Sphodra huge stone has already been rolled away. Jesus is alive and well. Don't worry about that. He's going ahead of us to where we will meet him next. In the meantime, amid all of our anxious situations, the challenge for us is to pursue him, to learn about him, to imitate him, to grow in him. That's what pursuing him entails. It's left to us to rest in his amazing love. It's left to us to make the best decisions we can. And it's left to us to let his peace calm our anxiety. Don't worry. He's got this. Let's keep following him to where he leads us. Would you join me in prayer? Oh Lord our God, we give you thanks that you are so far ahead of us on this road, that by the time the women had got to the tomb, asking who would roll the stone away, not only was the stone rolled away, but the tomb was already empty. We give you thanks that you had jumped the gun, so to speak, to get the story moving. We pray, Lord, that in all of our anxiety, that you would move ahead of us, that you would reveal to us how you have already moved ahead of us and are calling us closer to yourself, that we might pursue you in all things and find you ultimately, even though we still have so many questions. Give us grace, as you gave those women, to wrestle with the questions that plague our minds and yet to still have faith in you. And as we continue on in the story of this resurrection day, Help us to find you around every corner. Bless our conversations and give us wisdom and insight into your word that we might continue to follow you all of our days. In Jesus' name we pray these things.